So I'm doing a series of messages that are entitled on the front of your bulletin, "This is what we believe, and what do you believe?" And so far in January, we believe in going to make disciples. We believe in a triune God. Today, I'm going to try to do something extraordinarily difficult. Take Jesus Christ the Son, and in a half hour, less than that, 25 minutes, explain what I believe to be true and confess about Him. And then next week we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, Comforter and Guide, and we're going to close the month with a message on the church. So today is January 16th, 2011, Jesus Christ the Son, and the key scripture is from Mark 1, 10 and 11. So what do I believe? That's really the question you need to answer. So what is it I believe to be true about who Jesus is, and what He has revealed about himself. Most important question in life is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say He is? Who is Jesus? There's probably no more important question for this life and eternity as to how you answer that question. And when you answer that question, can you explain what you believe and why? Here's what the United Brethren doctrine says. We believe the United Brethren Confession of Faith was adopted in 1815. It's never been changed. It states the fundamental doctrines of Christian faith, the core beliefs of the United Brethren members have clung to since the denomination began. And this is a confession of faith. I was struggling this morning and telling Debbie over breakfast that, you know, it's really hard to try to talk about the most wonderful person there ever was in 20 or 25 minutes. How do you explain who Jesus is? And she says, well, I listened to a sermon yesterday, and the pastor there, his name's Zahn, said Christians can just confess what they believe. It's a confession of what you believe, because you can't explain God. He's too complex. He's too illogical to fit into the logical things that people try to do. So all we can do is confess what we believe. We share our testimony of what we believe. And this is what the United Brethren believe about Jesus. And this is what I personally believe too. Here is a one sentence that explains Jesus. One sentence. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He is very God and man, that He became incarnate by the power of the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary and was born of her, that He is the Savior and Mediator of the whole human race. If they, with full faith in Him, accept the grace preferred in Jesus, that this Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God to intercede for us, and that he shall come again on the last day to judge the quick and the dead. Now that is one amazing sentence. Now if you look at your bulletin on the back, I needed to use a 10 font to get all of that on one page. But what I did was took each one of those sections and I just put a Bible verse or two with it to try to confess what I believe to be true. So this is what I believe. Jesus Christ is what God had in mind when He created man in His image. Jesus is the normal. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, that is what He intended to be the normal. And the life that He lived, that's to be our normal Christian life. All the things that He did, we're supposed to be doing them. And with the right amount of faith, you could move mountains. You could do all of that stuff. That should be your normal life. Just like Jesus. Now, you won't be the Savior of the world, but, you know, a lot of the fun stuff that He did, you should be able to do that. That's normal. Now, Jesus the Son. We believe that Jesus Christ is very God and man. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ and He is very God and man in Mark 1, 9 through 11? One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. That was His hometown. Here's a guy who grew up in Nazareth, a man. And he came, John was baptizing at the Jordan River, and as Jesus came out of the water, saw the heavens splitting apart, the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son. You bring me great joy." So here is a literal man with the voice of God saying, "He's my Son." That's the very beginning of His earthly ministry. Now here's the very end of His earthly ministry. The Mount of Transfiguration is recorded in Matthew 17. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, we'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and watched this amazing event where the prophet Elijah and Moses came and ministered to Jesus before He went into Jerusalem to suffer and die for our sins. Amazing. Voice of God confirming Jesus is His Son. Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is very God and man. Do you believe that too? Have you made that personal in your life? Secondly, we believe that Jesus Christ, that He became incarnate by the power of the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary and was born of her. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? And do you understand why that is a key point of doctrine for us? He had to be born of a human woman. That was a promise. In Genesis, when Eve sinned, God said, "From your seed will come the deliverer." So it was a human woman with a divine father. He wasn't born in the line of Adam, like all the rest of us, with a human father. And this is how that goes in Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they ever came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He thought he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost." Holy Spirit, excuse me. The next morning, she gave birth. That was an ad lib. Whoops. Back to the Bible. She will give birth to a son, and they will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What I meant to say was the next morning, Joseph got up, brought her home, and lived with her, and didn't come together with her as husband and wife until after Jesus was born. But this was what the angel said to Jesus' stepfather. Jesus is going to become the one who saves the world from their sins. So, we believe that He is a Savior. In Acts 4:8, this is Peter's sermon on Pentecost. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that salvation is found, and in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to which men must be saved." So it is Jesus, and the name of Jesus is a vehicle through which salvation comes. We believe that He is a mediator of the whole human race. Do you believe that too? That when He went to heaven, that's His job these days. He mediates on our behalf on a regular basis. He and the Holy Spirit with the Father. Here's what it says in Hebrews 7. Now, there have been many priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus the Son, we believe that any who will put full faith in him and accept the grace preferred in Jesus would be saved. Do you believe that salvation is by God's grace alone? And that our part is to put full faith in Jesus alone? And then one of the most important questions I ask today is, have you personally put your faith in God's grace through Jesus? Put your faith, full faith in him, so that you are saved. You are born again. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God prepared in advance for us to do. So, Jesus Christ the Son. We believe that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for us. He was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God to intercede for us. It actually says sitteth, but we don't really say that kind of word anymore. We just say sits. So, do you believe in Jesus' literal death? Here's the significance in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. While they were eating, having the Last Supper, the Passover meal, when Jesus celebrated that with his disciples, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave to his disciples, and said, "This is my body." For years and years and years, they had broken the unleavened Passover bread to remember the Passover lamb that delivered the Hebrews in Egypt. But at this meal, Jesus said, there's a new deal from here on. I'm becoming that Passover lamb to be sacrificed to save you from your sins and death. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, and they drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. There's a new covenant established at his death. In the Old Testament, they took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. His blood running down the cross is the new covenant set up for you and me. That's the significance of his death. Now in John 19:30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It's finished." At that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's literally, physically dying for you and I's sins. To fulfill the last scripture, he had to say, "I thirst." They gave him something to drink. He drank it. He said, "Now it's finished." And he died. He literally died on the cross of the wounds and stuff. When they pierced him, he actually had a massive heart failure, I think, when you get blood around your heart like that. And I think he died of a broken heart for all the sins that, I don't know. When we get to heaven, I can't explain it. I just can tell you he literally died there. We believe that Jesus was buried and he rose again on the third day. When you read your New Testament passage for today in reading the Bible through with me, the scribes and the Pharisees, they ask for a sign. And Jesus says, "Here's the sign that I'll give you. It's the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the big fish 3 days. I will be buried 3 days, and then I will rise." So, do you believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead? That he died on the cross, was buried, stayed in the grave 3 days, just like he told them. When you read your New Testament with me this week, today, you'll see him saying, "That's what I'm going to do," and that's what he did. Here's the significance of the resurrection in Matthew 28. The angel said to the woman, Mary, Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come quickly and see the place where he lay. So, we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and he sits on the right hand of God to intercede for us. Do you believe in the literal ascension into heaven of Jesus? What happened is he went out to a hill outside of town with his disciples. He blessed them, raised his hands, and just floated up into the air into heaven. According to a lot of what it says in the Bible, this walking on the water, this floating deal, it's possible we could do fun stuff like that if we had deep enough faith. I don't know. So, the ascension, Luke 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, that's a city outside of Jerusalem, he lifted up his hands, blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes in the cloud, and it hid him from their sight. And there were immediately, they were looking intently, into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So, that's just got to be really cool to be standing there, watch Jesus float up into the clouds, and while you're standing there looking, poof, two angels in white show up and say, guys, what are you doing looking up? He's going to come back the same way. So, here's the deal. We believe Jesus Christ and that he shall come again in the last day to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Do you live like he's coming back soon? One of these afternoons in the eastern sky, he's going to come back in the clouds like he left. Here's what it says in Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. His name written on him, which no one knows, but only he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of his wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh are written his name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That John the Revelator's interpretation of Jesus coming back. So, did any of that help you know Jesus better? Or did it just tell you more about him? What I was hoping it would do would help you put more faith in him and get to know him better. Here's what it says in Hebrews 2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it didn't combine it with faith. So you can hear all the truths of the Bible. You can hear what we confess to be true as United Brethren. But if you don't combine that with personal faith, buy into that. This is what I believe to be true. This is what I confess to be true to others. It really doesn't have eternal value. You have to combine it with faith and live it out through your life to have it have any benefit. Here's a passage from Colossians. This is the closing conclusion of my message. It's from that Message translation. It's Colossians chapter 1. Here's what it says. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now is out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich, glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Jesus, warning people not to add to the message, like I did saying next morning. We teach in the Spirit a profound communion, common sense, so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ. No more, no less. That's the answer, is Jesus Christ. How you answer the question, who do you say I am? Who do you tell people He is? From your heart of faith. That's it. That's what's critical. How do we interpret, experience, and express who Jesus Christ is? That's what He wants us to do. He wants to go make disciples, teaching them about Him, to obey all that He said. But it starts with you understanding and being able to articulate who He is.